And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Did you know that xylo means wood in ancient Greek? Which is why this metal children's toy is called a glockenspiel. Glocken means bell in German. Is it important that you know this? Not really, unless you want to be that person, which I do.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tess Mellis.
Just watch that. It's xylo, and it's current Greek.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, a top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. And last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to everybody joining us live on YouTube. Hit the like button, subscribe, podcast listeners, leave us the five-star rating and review. We had another wedgie last night. Let's jump right to it. Wedgie 44 in this crazy game between the Celtics and Cavaliers, which we'll talk about in a second, but yes. Now, I thought it got blocked. I thought maybe Tatum blocked it. Maybe KP got a finger on it. But the box score said Jared Allen missed the two-point shot. So we'll give it to Jared Allen. And yeah, that's 44. And the pace? Oh, it's nice at wedgietracker.com. We're on pace for 61 as we still flirt around that 60 wedgie mark, hopefully, for the season.
It was quite the wedgie. He just shoved it right in.
Yeah, it's really deep.
It's like he really went for it. He's like, we haven't had one.
In.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get on this list. Give me that wedgie.
Of the record, it sure feels like, of wedgies in a season. I know I'm speaking a little early, but yep. The record is 58. We're on pace for 61. Ricardo, who made that website, it's the best website in the game. I think when we're gone, wedgies will still be there, yeah. And that website will still be there. So that'll be there forever, I feel
Let's hope so. WedgieTracker.com. Go check it out. Let's get into that game that had that wedgie. The Dean Wade game. My goodness. We already had the Max Strus game. Now we have the Dean Wade game. He scored 20 in the fourth as the Cavs rallied to end the Celtics' 11-game win streak. Boston went 0-for-8 from deep in the fourth. Dean Wade couldn't miss. 5-for-5 from three. 7-for-7 from the field, including an out-of-nowhere tip dunk with like 20 seconds to go, 19 seconds to go. That was pretty important. And yeah, they hold on. We can get into the no call, or at least the foul call. Let's review it. They overturned it. But really, Dean Wade is the story here. He's the hero of this game. They somehow came back. It was incredible.
It was like the Max Strus game, but the extended dance remix. Like, Max Strus all came in the last 5 minutes. Dean Wade's was the entirety of the fourth quarter, but they both went 5-for-5. And you mentioned the tip dunk. Literally, Ian Eagle said, out of nowhere, as if it was an RKO. That was great stuff from Dean Wade. I heard them call him D. Wade and the answer on the broadcast. Put him in the Hall of Fame, is what I'm saying.
The answer.
He's like, yeah, I guess Dean Wade is one of the top five shooting guards of all time, even though he's a stretch four.
Yeah,
that's going to be a special night for Dean Wade. Absolutely. That is his career high. That is a moment that he's playing in front of one of his favorite teams. The Kansas City Chiefs are his favorite team. They had the Kelce brothers in the front court. They're giving away bobblehead Kelce bobbleheads in Cleveland because they're from by there. It was a great game for the Cavs, obviously, beating the Celtics. And they're fighting with the second seed Milwaukee Bucks for a home court advantage in that second series, or, you know, the third series if they face the Boston Celtics. It's just a good sign that they beat them, I suppose. But Dean Wade, with that 9-0 run in the fourth quarter for a while there, and then how he finished it. That was a game-winning dunk in the end, even though it didn't feel that way because it looked like Tatum was going to the free throw line. But the refs made the right call in the end. That was the right call, even though it took a little while.
Yeah, I know we have that clip. So Cleveland won a replay review in the final seconds to pull out the victory. And officials initially did call this a foul on Garland, But Bickerstaff sort of right away, I mean, why wouldn't you, of course, at this point of the game, says, no, we're going to look at that. Officials do. And then they determine, yeah, okay, Tatum's leg caused the contact. And Garland, you know, you see it. He's not hitting his elbow or anything like that. You know, maybe there's the tiniest little tap to the jersey, but the ball is long gone by then. Not enough to push him over. So you think they ultimately came to the right call there after looking at it? Yeah,
Not even a question. I'm not sure why it was called in the first place. I guess because Tatum fouled. But his leg is just kicked out, and there's a tiny bit of contact, but it's way after the shot. So there's no foul on the play. He just missed the shot. And so that is the right call in the end. Tatum did say if they didn't call the foul, we would have got the tip in, because Porzingis did tip it in. But that was way after the buzzer, too, which didn't go off because there was 0.7 seconds left. But it bounced off the rim twice. Anyways, that makes no sense. And that's it. That's the end of it.
That makes no sense.
Game over.
I agree.
Did you have an issue with what the Celtics sort of, I put in air quotes, ran there at the end of the game, sort of killing a lot of the clock? And Tatum obviously doing iso ball here and missing a tough shot. It was well guarded by Garland, but what do you think of what the play was there?
Obviously a makeable shot for Tatum. Like, he's hit a fadeaway like that so many times. So understandable why they did that. But I kind of think when you're trailing, you should call a timeout and run a play. When you're tied, like the Nuggets were in their game at the end of overtime, you can play it out and try and get a shot. So I would have liked to see something from Mazzulla and the Celtics, but more so, I would like to see Tatum go earlier. You're saying, he thinks that Porzingis would have had the tip. I'm with you. It would have been after the buzzer, but if he shoots it with an extra half second, if he goes 2 seconds earlier, then they actually do have a chance at it. And Tass is right. That was the right call. I saw Garland post-game said that his leg still hurts from the kick. Yeah. He's lying, too. Because that was a gentle little booty tap from Tatum there. But Garland, man, he was making me nervous down the stretch here. He tried to thread the needle to Jared Allen on a pick and roll, easily broken up. Then he threw a wild lob pass at one point. Yeah. Also easily broken up. Couple of nasty turnovers and then nearly the foul there. But a good challenge. Made it tough on Tatum.
Yeah, Garland also got really lucky, I thought, with like 2:45 to go. He got cut off in the lane by Derek White. He jumped in the air. He had nowhere to go. So he knew Jared Allen was sort of behind him, and he flipped it behind him, just praying that it would go to him, and it sort of got deflected, but Jared Allen picked it up right away, and then he kicked it out to Dean Wade, who of course hit a three. It was a very lucky play, because you're right, then Garland had a couple oh, what are you doing, man? You're panicking a little bit here. You're trying to put it in spots that it's not quite there. And then, man, then it looked really bad when he got called for the foul. Because when you saw it in real time, you're like, okay, maybe he hit him on the elbow. But then you saw the replay and no contact up top.
He wasn't even close up top. No. So I was really surprised that was called. And it took a little bit away from Dean Wade's night, I thought. We would have been talking about the tip dunk. Instead, we're talking about this foul call, and people are talking about this foul call. Either way, a great night for Dean Wade. Oh. Absolutely. How do you guys feel about it being Kelsey night in Cleveland? They are from Cleveland Heights, so it's close by.
Sure.
Jason Kelsey just retired. They just won the friggin' Super Bowl with Travis Kelsey, so that's cool. But it is a football night in a basketball stadium, so I did feel a little weird about
it. Yeah, it was all about the bobbleheads, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
And after the game, Jared Allen said, honestly, when the Kelsey brothers started hyping up the crowd, we knew we could do it. I've seen the Mavericks have Tony Romo go through pregame warmups in uniform with them, so this is less weird than that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and Tony Romo was at the Dallas game yesterday, just being Tony Romo.
Trying to get some time out there, I guess.
Wade outscored the Celtics 20-17 in the final frame, and again, the big part here was Boston, who three quarters were shooting the three ball great and then just went ice cold in the fourth, and it was only the fourth time this season Boston didn't make a three in any quarter. So
weird.
It's very rare, and it happened in the fourth when they're up 22. I mean, Tatum's smiling after a dunk. Like, if Wade doesn't Wade. after you just say Wade, you're like, hold on. Yeah, that's not Dwayne Wade, it's the other Wade. After he hit that first one, if he misses that, I don't know, this might be very close to garbage time. Bring in the scrubs here, and then sorry, Kelsey Knight's a big bummer for everyone. But no, I mean, he just couldn't miss, and obviously kept it close, and they got right back into it. Fun game. We had this one on playback, and Wade saying the rim looked like a swimming pool.
Yeah.
He was in the zone.
Did a C-ball right at the end.
That's right. That's right.
But man, the Celtics, they've been good in the clutch all year. They just won 11 straight games. Literally, they've got the third best record in the clutch. 18-9 after last night. But if you're a Celtics fan, that's got to give you a little bit of pause, because that has been the story of the Celtics in the Brown and Tatum era.
Yeah.
It was just one pass, no pass possessions, and then chucking a three. They went 0-for-8 in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, the Cavs went 8-for-11. That was the game there, but I kind of thought Porzingis was the only guy who really understood the assignment. He got good shots. I don't think everybody else was getting good shots, but Porzingis had that real tough floater over George Niang. I'm like, oh, Niang was inside of him. That was ridiculous, man.
Physical.
That was crazy. He had the nice backdoor dish to Drew Holiday when they actually ran a play, got a layup there. Then I think he made a defensive stop. They're running in transition. He catches, drives, finishes at the hoop, and one, makes the free throw as well. He was the only guy to me who was making it a point to not shoot threes.
Yeah, and it looked like he may win the game for them with that shot over Niang. While the Celtics were good for three quarters, they were 50% from three, 15 of 30 through three quarters from three, and it looked good. And it looked like they may win a game where the other team hits way more threes. They hit five more threes in the end, the Cavs did. But the Celtics show that they can win games, again, without destroying the other team hitting threes. They got a little bit, but yeah, they needed something in that fourth quarter that wasn't just splash, splash, splash. But the Cavs were just doing that. It wasn't just Dean Wade. George Niang did hit a big one from the corner. Isaac Okoro hit four threes in this game, and he had a huge block in that fourth quarter. So there's a lot of chemistry, a lot of good things in a game where Evan Mobley left the game as well. So there's a lot of good things for the Cavs, who are just waiting for Donovan Mitchell to come back.
I want to see people, I guess, on TikTok or Instagram try and get like the movie Hustle with the boa challenge, something with the KP challenge, or maybe the minivan challenge. Basically, get a minivan, park it in your driveway, and then bang into it a million times like you're Kristaps Porzingis, and then hit a jump shot over it. Let's get that trending on all the social media channels. Maybe it would have happened if they went on to win that game, because that was one of the funniest possessions.
That was crazy.
Niang maybe fouled him about 8 times, but like wasn't moving, and they were letting them bang down there. And Porzingis still scored on him. It was a really funny possession.
Honestly, hats off to Joe Dumars.
They're letting him play a little bit.
Basketball has been better since the All-Star break, because you're allowed to foul people now.
At least some contact, for sure. So big win there from Cleveland without Donovan Mitchell, without Max Strus, and Evan Mobley leaves this game with the ankle injury. Mm-hmm. And they pull it out all because of Dean Wade and the Kelsey brothers cheering him on. Let's go to a bunch of games between these teams in the middle of the Eastern Conference. I'm talking about the seeds 4 through 8, because we had some teams jumping around last night. Paolo Banchero, he scored 22 as the Magic beat the Hornets. Their ninth win in 11 games. They've had a pretty good schedule here, Orlando has. They jumped to fourth. Now the Knicks lost to the Hawks, so they're in fifth. The Heat, it took a lot longer than most people thought, but they beat the Pistons for their 11th win in 14 games. They're in sixth. And then you see there that the Sixers have fallen into the play-in spot after they lost to the Nets last night in a 5-point game. And then the Pacers, a little too much for Luka and the Mavs, 137 to 120 in Dallas. And so Indiana in the 8th seed. But man, look at the logjam between the 4-seeded Orlando Magic and the 8th-seeded Indiana Pacers. Any of those games that you wanted to touch on?
Well, I was just watching that Miami-Detroit game, which came down to the wire. Detroit taking everybody down to the wire and losing, unfortunately. I thought there was beautiful camera work of Terry Rozier late in the game. He was looking at Bam Adebayo, trying to make Jalen Duren go guard Bam Adebayo. And there's such a great baseline cam of Terry Rozier's eyes looking the other direction. It's just beautiful camera work. And Jalen Duren just waiting and waiting and waiting. And that's where Rozier hit a key shot. I thought that was a fun game. But the real game I want to talk about is the Pacers-Mavs. This is scary times for the Dallas Mavericks. Mm. They have lost 5 of 6 now.
Yep.
They don't like playing defense. There's something about the rotations on the three-point line. Yes, there's lots of threes in this game. The Pacers do hit a lot of threes, but shouldn't that be Jason Kidd's agenda here? We have to stop their three-point shots. They're helping off sometimes the strong corner. How does that happen? Corner after corner after corner in this one. 9 out of 10 Pacers scored in double digits. That's good for them, bad for the Mavericks. I mean, that's just a bad sign for this Dallas Mavericks team, as they're only a half game above the Lakers for 9th, and they could be falling and falling and falling here. Jason Kidd's just not getting them to play enough defensively. To lose 5 of 6 games here after the All-Star game, after you made these trades.
After they had a 7-game win streak.
Yeah. It's scary times for the Dallas Mavericks.
Mavs are 30th in defense since the All-Star break. They're allowing 126 points per 100 possessions. The Wizards, worst defense all season, they're allowing 122.5 points per 100 possessions. They are significantly better than the Mavericks are, and you're exactly right, Tass. They gave up 18 threes. They also gave up 50 paint points and 20 second chance points. They took away absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And then the offense didn't look as good in the second half because teams are defending Luka Doncic differently. They're not blitzing him all the time now. They're saying, go score on us, because that's better than when you're dishing out to Tim Hardaway Jr. for getting good shots. He had another stinker of a game. Kyrie Irving, I thought, didn't really do much until the fourth quarter where he tried to get going, but teams are playing the Mavericks a little bit more straight up right now, and it can kind of wear down Luka, I think. He has humongous first halves and then good second halves where he's not quite as effective. Also, I think you'd be happy if you're a Pacers fan. A little bit of a slump buster for Tyrese Halliburton. 19 points, 11 assists. He actually shot over 50% for the first time in a couple of weeks. He probably would have got the 20 points if he stayed in this game and it stayed close, got to the free throw line. But he was 4 for 23 from the field in his previous two games coming in. Hasn't necessarily looked the same since the hamstring injury, but I thought he was pretty solid last night. And health is a huge thing, because when we're seeing those standings, I'm like, oh, the Magic had their guys miss time early in the season. They're healthy now, and now they're in the fourth seed.
Yep.
The Sixers obviously are completely banged up right now. Guess what? They're in the play-in tournament. Yep. The Knicks, they're banged up, dropping down the standings. You got to get healthy at the right time, and the Magic are right now.
Yeah, but the opposite is true with the Dallas Mavericks. For a big stretch of the season, a lot of people were like, ah, oh, they just got to get healthy, get all their guys back. They have a clean injury report over the last week or so during this sort of losing streak, or these games that they're dropping here, 5 out of 6, like you said. So that's not good. You can't even turn to be like, well, if we had so-and-so, or if we had so-and-so here. Well, no, they're all there, and they can't play D. And I will, like, look, when your D is already reeling, the last team you want coming in is the Indiana Pacers. I get that, because that's their whole thing. They're one of the best offensive teams in the league. But kid, this will be his final 20 games, and then whatever they do in the playoffs, he'll be gone. Budenholzer, come on in, buddy. Help us out defensively.
Budenholzer, huh?
I think, bud, somebody has to change that. Because what are you going to do with the roster?
Nothing.
Everybody's under contract, multi-year contracts, except, I think, like Derek Jones Jr. So that's sort of what you are. That means the coach is going to get switched up here, and I don't think Mavericks fans will be all upset by that. He said after the game, we tried everything. This is kid. We switched. We switched to hit. We went zone sometimes. Got to give them credit. And he went on to say like how they are a good offensive team. But they can't stop anyone right now. And like you said, yeah, they are getting dangerously close to the play-in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the exact same thing that happened last season.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yes, exactly. So that's why J. Kidd will probably be fired. That has to be the thing.
Guarantee will be.
Yeah, because the next two seasons they have so much money tied up in everybody. They have $175 million next season already tied up. So it's unlikely they can do anything this offseason. Then it's a little bit less the following season, but still, J. Kidd has been leading this team. That ain't trying that hard. As you mentioned, those points in the paint, second chance points, I was surprised by that, but they lost, every category, really, when it comes down to it, because they ain't playing defense. Mm-hmm. They're just one pass away was so easy for them yesterday. They're taking themselves off of Miles Turner at the three-point line, and he just kept hitting threes. And that was – it kind of looked like Steve Kerr versus Jaylen Brown. It looked like you're just leaving a guy open over and over and over again. Nothing changed. Mm. Nothing has changed the last couple of years.
Any other thoughts from any of those wins from those teams like the Heat, like the Magic? No. I mean, it's so weird. I was going to ask you, tell me how this is going to finish, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But, your counter, I assume, would be, well, tell me when Embiid's back, or tell me when OG's possibly back, or Brunson, or some of these guys. It's tough to figure out, but good on Orlando for taking advantage of their easiest part of their schedule. Like you said, Trey, a lot of their guys are there, and the Wagners are playing well, and Paolo doing his thing, and they're up to the fourth seed. Like, that's be huge for them to host a playoff series, let alone just be out of the play-in and be in one. And they should be with some of those injuries to the other teams. Let's move over to Kevin Durant, erupting in overtime, leading the Suns to the 117-107 win over the Nuggets after they blew a 22-point lead. The Suns, man, they're a wild watch. Played great, gave it all back, and it took the extra frame where Durant that was just timeless KD, where it's like, guy was just a bucket after struggling at times in the game. Found his rhythm, and it's like, what are you going to do, man? He's just going to rise up and shoot over you. But what do you think of the game?
Well, I just think that the Suns do show some effort at times. This is a good win for them to beat the defending champs, No Devin Booker. They were 2-4 since the All-Star game coming in. And overall, Durant's numbers ain't that pretty percentage-wise. No. 14 of 34. Beal, 6 of 18. How the frick do you win that? Well, they look like a team that really wanted to play defensively in that second quarter. They did a great job. And the Nuggets only score 107 points in an OT game. That ain't a lot. Mm-hmm. And I thought Jusuf Nurkić played Nikola Jokic pretty well. That's you never have to double, and that's bodes well. You just guard the other guys one-on-one. He wasn't getting bullied. Jokic had 7 turnovers in this game. That's a lot. The Suns only had 9. So that was a big part of it. It was a weird game in that it was just a real roller coaster.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the opposite of it erupting? And it's imploding. Yeah. I remembered. And that's what the Suns did in the fourth yeah. quarter. What did they shoot in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
5 for 24. And that's what it is for the Suns. Like, it literally all comes down to shot making, especially when one of Booker, Beal, or Durant is out. It was Booker last night. Grayson Allen, he's on fire. He's a great shooter. You got to guard him, but there's two guys guaranteed you don't have to guard on the court for this team. Like, you're living with Royce O'Neal shooting. Nurkić can have a huge game. It's like when Timofey Mozgov was scoring 20 in the finals. Who cares? Like, that's who you want shooting. So, yeah, Kevin Durant couldn't make a shot in the fourth quarter, and he made a ton of shots in overtime. That's just how it is. But Grayson Allen, to me, is very high on the hate-to-see-him-cooking-you list. Oh, man. He was on fire in the first half. 22 points, 7 for 8 from the field, hit a bunch of threes. He was absolutely skying on that dunk he had on the breakaway. Then he hit a couple of threes to start the second half, and it looked like it was going to be a blowout for the Suns. But they'll give you a chance to get back in it because they're just going to shoot a bunch of tough twos. And a lot of times they go in, and it looks awesome. Yeah. And a lot of times they miss, and they shoot 20% for a quarter.
Yeah, yeah. Grayson Allen, man, 28 points overall, 5 boards, 4 assists, game-high 3 steals. He played 41 minutes, didn't turn the ball over. He's been incredible for the Suns.
He doesn't pass it.
I know. But
that's why they never turn the ball over. They don't pass the ball.
Yeah,
same with the Mavericks. They don't pass the ball.
Yeah.
Beal likes to turn it over sometimes.
But you have to admit, Grayson Allen has been an incredible player for the Suns this year.
Totally. Yeah,
I mean,
he's awesome.
In all of the guys that they accumulated, I mean, a lot of people had him, I don't know about him. They had many other guys above him, and he's been by far their most consistent guy in terms of shooting the ball and at least playing hard. And you're right. Yeah, you don't want to get cooked by Grayson Allen. Don't
it
get me
sucks,
wrong.
It sucks, man. You're going to be furious about it. I thought he was going to be their best signing this summer, and he has turned out to be, because I've seen him cook the Bulls, and it leaves you furious when it's happening because he's going to do something dirty as well. The Nurkić thing also cracks me up. He brings it against Jokic, plays really well. He's averaging 19 and 9 and 4 assists this season, and he's fouled out both times.
Mm-hmm.
He also always fouls out against Jokic.
Yeah, because they decided to go with Jokic when they were teammates in Denver. So that's something that will always be in his head.
Yeah, they made the right decision.
Yeah, though, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
They picked the Taco Bell commercial, they picked Jokic, and then they said goodbye to Jusuf Nurkić. This was just a weird one all the way down to the end because Durant gave them everything in that end of the fourth quarter and in overtime. They had 9 points until Kevin Durant hit a 3 with 25 seconds left to tie the game. Yeah. I mean, he was not doing well in the second half. But if that 3 doesn't fall, they have 9 points in a fourth quarter. Yeah. That's hard to do. And then Jokic missed the potential game winner at the end of regulation, a shot that he always hits. So, yeah, it clanks. It was just a really weird quarter to see the Suns just score 12 points. And as you said, there weren't a lot of incredible Phoenix plays, but there was a Sabin Lee dunk. That was nice, actually, on Zeke Nagy. That's not many
Sabin
times.
Sabin Lee on Zeke Nagy. Yeah. Where were you?
Yeah, not many times you can say those names.
No, so just, not sure they've ever been said together.
No, that was nice. That was just a jam. It was an angry Sabin.
There you go. Let's go to Elprin Şengün, setting a career mark with 45 points as the Rockets beat the Spurs 114-101. Incredible game from Şengün. He became just the 5th player to produce at least 45 points, 15 boards, and 5 steals in a game since the NBA began tracking steals back in the, mid-70s, basically. A guy named John Drew did it once in the late 70s, and then Anthony Davis did it twice for the Pelicans, James Harden once, and Embiid once, and now Şengün, and he's by far the youngest to do it. Monster game from him. I saw some Trey Kirby clips going around on Twitter this morning, loving those big post moves.
This was too good, man. Şengün was incredible. He got started, honestly, against Zach Collins, just taking it to Zach Collins. At one point, Şengün threw in a lefty hook off the glass from in front of the basket. They called it the howitzer hook. Didn't sound like a compliment to me, but it was an incredible shot. He got going so much, they had to put Wemby on him, and Wemby absolutely could not turn the water off. One guy in the league is going to own Victor Wembanyama, and it'll be very funny if it's Alperen Şengün, because he looks so much smaller than him height-wise, but he was really getting into Wemby's body, knocking him off the thing, and then he had calibrated the perfect like push shot floater over the top of him. Very patient inside with his dream shake kind of moves, pivot, pivot, pivot. He even had a dunk on him after getting him on the baseline. That was pretty nice. The dish to Whitmore on the fast break. Pretty. That was sexy as well. Great stuff from Alperen Şengün. Of course, Jerome had to put his jersey on today. Send us a picture. Peace.
Love it. Yeah, you're right. For someone to get the best of Wemby at this point of his career, being so skinny and thin and all that, you got to be crafty and you got to throw him around a little bit and have that touch inside. And that's Şengün right now.
Well, Wemby blocked him in the first minute.
Yeah, right away.
And then he blocked him another four times. He did block him five times in this game. So Şengün did say to himself, I'm way shorter. I'm going to leap as high as I possibly can, which isn't a huge leap, and hook it past him. And it worked at times for sure. I think we're going to see this matchup over and over and over again.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Why the heck not? But he had 17 shots in the paint. That's hard to do, man. You just got mad touch to score 45 points. Just doesn't happen in today's NBA post players like this.
Right, without the three ball, yeah.
Yeah, so Wemby will be blocking him more because he's just way bigger. And there were some standing blocks in this game. There's literally pop. He's probably like 7-8 inches taller than him. I mean, I don't know.
Seven blocks. This guy had seven blocks, but six turnovers. Yep. Şengün was getting the ball back with low steals.
Oh, there's Jerome.
Hey.
Rocking his Şengün Rockets jersey. Oh, that's a cool, cool jersey there, Jerome. Glad you're feeling better as well. All right. Any other thoughts on that one? We'll move on to the final game here, and it's not going to take long. Trey Murphy III scored a season-high 34 points as the Pelicans crushed the shorthanded Raptors, but it was a dominant victory. 139-98. Trey Murphy III, coming off the bench, hit 10 three-pointers. And Basketball Reference letting us all know, that's pretty rare. Trey Murphy III, only the seventh player ever to make 10 threes or more coming off the bench. Donyell Marshall.
Wow.
Shout out to those Raptors days.
This shows up on every three-point record list.
Yeah. J.R. Smith did 11 once, and then a bunch of other guys. Bogdanovich, Gallinari, Luke Kennard, Kelly Oubre Jr., J.R. again. And now Trey Murphy III. Though I saw he missed some free throws again last night. Mama Murphy's not going to be happy with that. But yeah, this was an ass kicking, and I mean, there was like highlight after highlight after highlight for the Pelicans in this one. Jordan Nwora still looking for Brandon Ingram on that one play where he had him backwards and then threw down a huge dunk. Zion had some dunks. Zion had so many dunks, they asked him, hey, you gonna go in the dunk contest? He's like, yeah, if I'm an all-star. But hold on. First off, you were an all-star twice, so why didn't you go in it then? But okay, cool. All right, he's saying if he's an all-star, he'll go in the dunk contest. I don't know if you believe him or not. Are we going to hold him to this?
A lot of people say they'll do it.
Yeah,
he did say at the beginning, it's on me. It's up to me to get into the All-Star game. Like, I have to play better, is what he did imply at first. And that'll never make any of the headlines because it's all about, oh, yeah, I will go into the dunk contest if I get to the All-Star game. He is trying to put a little pressure on himself. But he also said that before this All-Star game, too. He said the exact same thing.
Right.
Anyway, it'd be nice to have him.
We'll send you the Evite for sure for the dunk contest, Zion. And you're going to be an All-Star again. Don't worry. You know. Hopefully as long as you stay injury-free. But they just dominated them. The Raps. I have no notes outside. It was just an ass kick.
Yeah.
It was over in a hurry.
A lot of those threes were open for Trey Murphy. I don't think Grady Dick knew where he was most of this game.
No,
I don't believe so.
They got spanked by the Pelicans twice this year. The other one was by 38 points. They're too big for the Toronto Raptors, who are now missing Jakob Poeltl as well. And that's an excuse that for him and Scottie Barnes also being out. So maybe your leader isn't out. Your best player isn't out. But that's not an excuse for not playing defense, for not stopping three-point shots, because this was a spanking. This was a Pelican taking out its wing and giving it to the Raptor bottom over and over and over again.
That's a visual. Hold on.
Yeah,
you're saying let's think about a Pelican throwing out its giant wing and smacking the ass of a raptor.
Of a dinosaur.
Of a dinosaur, yeah. Right. Hey, somebody get on that AI thing and make me a video or a photo of
giving
that.
Giving it to the raptor bottom. I've never heard those words put together like that. Yeah. And I've never seen DJ Carton before.
Oh my God.
Oh, my God.
That's a new guy.
Oh, we had Freeman, Liberty, right?
Oh, yeah. Bulls legend. Yep, Bulls legend, Javon Freeman, Liberty.
Oh, it's
DJ
gonna be...
Milk Carton? Yeah. Who is he?
This is that time of year.
He played well, I think.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He was one of the better raptor players.
Carton in the mix.
On the other team, Isaiah Brockington on the Pelicans snuck out there.
Yeah,
maybe. Ooh.
We need to do a short on some crazy NBA names the league right now, because there's guys named Matthew Hurt and Funk.
Andrew
and,
Funk.
Yeah, I mean, we got some crazy fake-sounding names right now. So let's accumulate those. That is a good one, for sure. Yeah, Carton
with a Z.
On there.
The Isaiah is with a Z instead of an
S. That's cool. Yeah. I was just going to say this is going to be a long month here for Raptors fans. And when is the draft lottery? That's what this season's going to come down to for Raps fans. Will they jump it? I don't know. I don't think they're going to catch, unfortunately, the Grizzlies and teams that are still above them when you're looking at Tankathon. The pick goes to the Spurs if it's top six. So I think the Raptors are going to have to get lucky and jump in the draft lottery up a couple spots to keep their pick.
May 12th.
Okay. Well, put it on the calendar. It's going to be a long month, Tass.
Yeah, I thought that three-game win streak out of the All-Star game was good.
That was fun.
It was fun.
At least they won three in a row, got a pizza party.
Yeah. And now, obviously, Barnes out hurts.
He'll be out for the season.
Yeah, he'll be out for the season.
Pirtle might be out for the season.
Exactly. So, yeah, not good.
It's Carton time, baby. which is ironic. They use milk bags up in Canada. Oh,
yeah. Change his last name to Bag when they play.
He's in his milk bag. Carton's in his milk bag. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be looking at an NBA player poll. I'll be asking the guys some questions, and you can play along. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
A lot of milk talk right now in the stream team. People pointing out that Western Canada uses jugs
Interesting.
Not bags. And then still with us saying, we have all types of milk vessels in Toronto, not just bags. Okay, that's true. And even with bags that they do use, milk bags that you got to, you know, clip the corner, they do generally still come in milk cartons when they are transferred to, you know, convenience stores and grocery stores and stuff like that.
Cool.
Okay.
Very cool.
All right. So we're all like on the same page when it comes to milk. You guys drink milk?
No.
No, not at all.
Not from a cow.
No, you're almond man. Are you an almond man?
When you're saying a dill, that's not the name of milk carton. The plastic thing you're saying.
No, you're saying
the plastic.
That hard plastic that
it's
you would
put. It's not a carton. What is it called?
Well, what do you call that? Crate.
Crate. Yeah, that's
it. 100% a crate.
Yeah, that's a crate.
Think of
the crate.
That's right. It's a crate.
They have cartons in Toronto. Okay, Toronto, relax. We know.
Yeah, we
do. They do sell bags of milk in Toronto.
Yes.
And cartons, and I think jugs maybe still.
Sure. Got it all.
But also bags.
I used to get my milk bags in a bag. Like three bags in one bag.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. I was thinking carton, you're right. Yeah. Crate. Those would come in a crate.
Yeah. Okay.
That they would stack then in the shelves.
Yeah.
Or in the cooler.
You got to transport them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I like bag milk. Just getting bit
the
milk
tastes
in a
better?
Bag. No. I like the way it pours out of the vessel, you know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah.
I like having that little cutter magnet on my fridge.
Yes.
Did you guys have that?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, of course.
Instead of using scissors, you had like a little, I don't know how you describe it, like a piece of plastic with a little like razor blade in it, basically.
It's like a cigar cutter.
Yeah, exactly.
But for milk. Plus you could customize how you wanted to pour your milk, right? You had some psychopaths who had like a tiny little hole and would go just a piss stream of milk.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
No.
But you'd also have like people do too much and it was just
too
like
much.
Yeah. There's an art to it.
There was.
I always felt such great trepidation the first pour of a freshly sliced bag of milk.
Yeah.
It's all floppy.
Yeah,
on
it's
the
floppy
top.
Top. Yeah.
Yeah, you better be thirsty that first time.
The milk bag was fine, but they didn't really think through the technology of the milk sort of carton or whatever that you would put the bag into.
Yeah,
I feel like it could have been made better. Because you're right, the top part was always, whoa, here we go.
You got to hold it on top. It's a milk pitcher is a questionable, the thing that the bag goes into, and then you've got to hold the bag as you pour it in. It took me about 15 years to learn that, but I did after a while.
I knew one person that would take the milk bag, cut it, and then just pour it all into the milk pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Which was put in the fridge.
Right.
Pitcher of milk, table
I like
two.
It's not bad.
I don't mind that.
I don't know. It feels gross, but why?
Does.
I mean, really,
yeah.
It shouldn't, as long as you wash it in between
in
between milks.
Americans could do that now with their milk carton. Why not just pour it in a pitcher?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
All right. Well, a few weeks ago, while in Indianapolis, the Athletics staff of NBA writers, they spoke to about 18 players, most of them all-stars, a couple from the skills, three-point, and slam dunk contests, to canvass them on a couple of things. Who's the NBA's best player? The officiating in today's game? What the league might need to change? It's an interesting player poll. I'm going to say it's not thorough by any stretch of the imagination. Like I said, it's 18 players, so it's a small sample size. But I did think it would be fun to ask you guys some of the questions that these players got asked, get your opinions, debate them. Obviously, everybody joining us live will be commenting away. Maybe you have your thoughts later. If you're listening to the pod, tweet at us at No Dunks Inc. And get in the conversation here. So the first question is pretty simple. They asked, these all-stars, who's the best player in the league? I'll give you the breakdown after you make your picks and give your answers.
I was surprised by that breakdown. By who the all-stars and the second gentleman selected.
Okay.
I was very surprised by that. I didn't agree. I don't know how you pick some of these players. Mine is Jokic. Mine is Jokic because I was going to go into them. I know you want to break them down.
Okay.
It's
I
want to
hear
weird.
From you.
Why do? How can you pick guys that haven't won the whole frickin' thing? Mm. That's a big selection that have been around for a long time but haven't been able to win it all. Like we had a start bench cut that we constantly do with different players. It was Jalen Green, Tyler Hero, and Jordan Poole. It's easy to put up Hero and Poole because they've been to finals. They've done their things.
Mm.
You know, I guess I was like these guys. I didn't take those guys. I took the Jalen Green. I'm a crazy one. but how do you do it? How do you not take the guy and guys aren't even included in here who've won MVP and won of a freaking title? Like Giannis wasn't selected
Once.
Yeah.
Once.
Okay, let's break it down. 3 votes for Jokic, 3 for Embiid, 2 votes for Luka, 2 for Anthony Edwards. He was one of those votes.
I think the other was Towns.
Exactly. So maybe chuck those out. And then Kawhi got a vote, Tyrese Halliburton got a vote, and LeBron got a vote. But, you know, Jokic and Embiid, again, this is around the All-Star break, so that makes a lot of sense, I think. Would you pick Jokic if you were answering?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's easily the best offensive player in the league. You get a good shot every time he touches the ball. He touches the ball a lot. And I'll say this season, in the big games, in the big moments, he's pretty solid defensively. He has figured out how to play zone defense without necessarily playing zone defense. He's obviously got really quick hands. If you're a good offensive player with court vision like Jokic has, you can become a good defensive player just because you know how to read the game. And I think that's what has been the case. Somehow he's like leading the NBA in defensive box plus minus. I don't even understand how that stat works, but if he's at the top of a defensive advanced stat, it must be true what your eyes are seeing, that he's improved defensively. So he's number one for me. I would have Giannis number two ahead of Embiid, but those are my top three.
Okay.
Yeah. And Jokic is so good in the freaking playoffs. Like, those months matter. And he can hit a shot, even if he's not jumping over you, even if you know it's coming. He has that shot that is the driveway dad shot that is behind his head. We saw it against Anthony Davis in the postseason last year, I should say. He wins for me. That's who should be the answers.
Yeah, and you might be doing the math out there. Hold on. You said 3 votes for Jokic and Embiid, 2 for Luka and Anthony Edwards, Kawhi, Tyrese, and LeBron only getting 1. You said they asked 18 players. Not everyone polled answered every question here, okay? But I'm with you guys. It's Jokic. It's a little surprising it was maybe even that low. And Joel Embiid was hurt.
Yeah, he wasn't
there.
At
this time they're asked, too. So a little fascinating. Okay, moving on. This one's fun. If you could be Adam Silver for a day, what's one thing you would change about the NBA? TK, how would you answer this?
We're playing 58 games.
Okay.
Number one thing I would do is shorten the schedule. I think the number one response was eliminating back-to-backs. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
You're basically playing 2 games a week, maybe 3 some weeks, but that necessarily means you're not going to have to be playing back-to-backs, and it makes every game more important since they're not as many of them, much more scarce. It makes the TV viewing a lot easier. Things aren't getting lost because there's 15 games on in a night. So I think shortening the schedule, you know, that's if Adam Silver wasn't worrying about making a ton of money.
Yes.
You know, if he was just looking for the quality of game to increase, that would be my number one change.
Totally. The season should be shorter. If you look at leagues around the entire globe, 82 is just a lot for basketball players to play. There's shorter seasons everywhere else. That being said, this league's getting paid. So it would be very, very hard to see that happen. Right. That's why the elimination of back-to-backs, I think, should be the first thing that they do. Because you would see better basketball every game. They start the season in October 24th is when they start the season. Each team has like 12 or 14 back-to-backs. So you bump it up a couple weeks and you can get rid of those back-to-backs. So you start the season a couple weeks earlier and you're all right. You know, you're October 7th, 8th, 9th. It's not, I know it does lengthen the season a little bit.
You're saying if they will never actually eliminate games and go to 72, somewhere in the 60s, 58, like Trey said,
that'd be nice.
At the very least, Make the actual season longer in the calendar year to get rid of back-to-backs to, in theory, you know, protect some of the players and help the basketball.
I'm not a schedule maker, so I don't know how exactly this works, but if the season starts on October 24th and each team has 12 to 14 back-to-backs, 12 additional days, 13 additional days, 14 additional days should do it. That's all. Okay. That's all it is. But I understand. I'm sure Adam Silver is thinking, we just put this in-season tournament into November because fans just don't care enough about this league in those first couple months. So why would you make it go earlier? Well, why would you play 82 games and back-to-backs? Every single player. That was the most common answer from players.
Yes. 3 votes for schedule changes, like no more back-to-backs and stuff like that. 2 votes for I wouldn't want to be him. All right? So one of our athletic reporters asked one of these guys, hey, if you're Adam Silver for the day, what's one thing you would change? And they said, I don't want to be him.
I don't want to be him.
Yeah, we know, man. But what if you were him? No, I won't even touch it. And then some votes for, just one vote each for technical foul refunds. That was Jaylen Brown's answer.
I agree.
So you know, this idea, like, you know, they sometimes get these wrong and they get rescinded. So give me my money back or stuff like that. A 4-point line. mandatory late game reviews, and then an alley-oop foul rule change. And that one's very specific, I know, but I forget who it was in the article, but pointing out, like, when you throw an oop and the guy sort of fouls the guy going for the oop part, they don't say, all right, two shots, generally. They're like, all right, side out, your ball, but just a foul on the ground.
Lowry Market.
So that's the rule. Yeah, was that Lowry Market?
Yeah, he went deep. He went hard.
Very specific, but...
You know, he must get fouled a lot going up for alley-oops.
Yeah, so.
Doesn't get the free throws.
That's true, yeah.
I guess so, but interesting answer.
Interesting answers all around. Bam was the guy who said he didn't want to be Adam Silver. I wouldn't want to be Adam Silver for a day. I don't want that job. That's too stressful. All right, Bam. You'd rather be a basketball player just throwing your body around? You wouldn't want to be commissioner? You could do it. You could do it, Bam. I believe in you.
All right. Okay.
The replay stuff is interesting because on my list of things I had, I said get rid of the replay.
Hell yeah.
But then we had that Celtics-Cavs game last night, and I was like, ugh. The Cavs fans probably are okay with replay, but there's too many of them.
Get rid of it.
It only happened in the last 1 minute of the
That's
game.
That's it. That's the answer. Because it's important, obviously, for a final possession like that, where it's like, ooh. And like I said, when I watched it in real time on playback, I was like, oh, man, he probably hit him on the arm. You know, maybe he did. Yeah. And then you see it slow-mo, and you're like, nope, he didn't. And Tatum's kicking his leg. That should be a no-call. He missed. But there's way too many stoppages in play. Way too many. Yes. There's too many reviews. I'm with you, Trey. It's just make it in the final 2 minutes or minute even. Oh, that would be perfect to me. Speed up the game.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson wants more reviews. He said everything under a minute or 2 minutes must be reviewed. Everything must be reviewed. That's a mistake.
He's trying to get some rest playing on his team. He's like, I need every break I can get.
All right, next question here. Do you still support the NBA's 65-game mandate for awards eligibility? This one was pretty split, the voting. 3 for yes, 2 for no, 3 for maybe. So even the players, even these all-stars themselves, can't really decide how they feel about this 65-game threshold for a lot of these awards. What do you think? How would you vote?
I think what it comes down to for players is that playing 65 games factors into their paycheck eventually, how much they can get paid per year. And so that's why I think they're still up in the air, because I think the other side of it is players do want to play 65 games. I think they do actually want to throw their bodies out there and play that many games. So I think 65 is not a bad number. I don't want to be this anal guy, but if you change back-to-backs, I think you will see players play more players. They have to sit at times because back-to-backs are just hard on the body. So I don't want to go back to the back-to-backs. But I do think the 65 is decent. As we look throughout the entire NBA, they are playing more this season than last year because of this motivation in part. But I think you really get around it by taking away back-to-backs. So 65 is not a bad number.
Okay, so
not a bad number.
So you would say you would support it.
I mean, maybe you have to change the financial bonuses in CBA that basically, you know, jump your numbers from you can make 30% of the salary cap versus 25 if you are named to an All-NBA team, but you can only be named to an All-NBA team if you play 65 games. That's what it comes down to, I suppose.
Trey, how would you vote?
I probably would vote a maybe because I don't necessarily know where I stand on this one, because on one hand, I love seeing guys play basketball and, you know, I like seeing the best players try and play every single night. But then also at the end of the year, I'm like, Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker aren't going to make all NBA teams. Joel
weird.
Embiid's not going to make all NBA teams. I watched it with my eyes. Those guys were three of the best players in the league this year. So I'm probably a maybe, and the key is getting rid of the Rose rule, where the super duper max isn't attached to all these all NBA selections. But man, Bam was really in his bag with these answers. I don't have anything to say against the rule because I love playing basketball, so I'm gonna try to play as many games as possible. This guy will not answer your question.
This guy's a politician, man. Yeah. I loved Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's answer to this. There's a fine line in games played and availability. I think the league has the right intention in trying to make that line a little bit bolder and easier to make a decision. Now, I try to be as available as I can every night, not only for that, but just for the love of the game. He's throwing out the love of the game clause. But that's a good point. Like, there is that fine line between games played and then actually being available because you're healthy to go. The other, you know, counter to this is keep 65-game threshold for some of the awards eligibility. Maybe it doesn't need to be for all NBA. Maybe it's less games. But I don't think this is going to go anywhere. I think you said it, Tass. Overall, the guys are playing. They really are.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's going to be a few weird, damn, He didn't make All-NBA? Well, he only played 60 games. Okay. But maybe that'll just be the norm moving forward. I don't think this is going to go anywhere.
Yeah, and why aren't those guys playing? Is it because they get hurt like NBA players do? I mean, that's why Embiid is hurt. It's not necessarily because he's just trying to play through injuries.
Right, right.
So it's kind of hard. It's a it is a line. And they did do some research again this year versus last year. The games played are up. Is that because of the rule or is that because bodies and medicine is getting better? You see guys
just
playing
longer. An anomaly. I mean, it's possible, just a year where people are generally more healthy than not. And then next year, nine of the top 10 guys have big injuries. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these are fluke injuries. But then you get Halliburton who gets injured and then is like, it's in the back of his mind. Like, damn, I want to hit these marks. I want to be All-NBA. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to like try and force it maybe a little earlier than I should have. It's his decision. It's his team's decision, but it adds a weird layer to it, I guess, when a lot of money is involved too. Yeah. In some of the cases, not his, but
I think we've given a question to The Athletic for next year. Why'd you play in so many games last year? Or why didn't you play in so many games last year? But I wanted answers from all 24 guys. That being said, some guys didn't want to answer. Now, do you want to do the anonymous? Do you want to go the anonymous route? Ooh, but The Athletic is...
They do that as well.
Yeah. They do it sometimes, but I think in this case, they want journalistic integrity. They don't want those answers of Anthony Edwards saying Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league. Not Cat or whoever.
No, Anthony Edwards said himself.
Yeah, that's right.
and I will put that on record.
He did.
You can quote me.
Okay, next question here. Is there too much offense in today's NBA? Again, this is happening around the All-Star break. Weird. We had just seen, two guys go for 70-plus points in like a couple weeks prior, if not week prior. 5 votes for yes. Too much offense. 4 for no. 2 for maybe. Who are these babies?
Let me guess.
Bam. Answer the fucking question,
Bam. Say maybe.
Jesus. Do you think there is? Trey, how would you vote for this?
No. I would vote no. I would say that there is not too much offense in the NBA. There is not enough physicality because playoff games are still awesome. And then you go and look at like the average points per game. So I'm looking at last season, 114.7 points per game was the average for teams in the regular season, down to 109.6 in the postseason. This year, averaging 115 points per game, that's just too high. The sweet spot is like between 105 and 110, which is the games you're seeing after the All-Star break when certainly there is more physicality going around. The players are so skilled right now, they're still going to score. Everybody on the team can shoot. Trey Murphy's coming off the bench hitting 10 threes. Yeah. He's 6'10". The guy was in the dunk contest. Yeah. Like, there's going to be more scoring now. And teams have figured out that 3 is more than 2. You got to take a bunch of threes. So scoring is going to be up. There's no way we're ever going back to 90s games. Mm-hmm. That's never going to happen. But there's a sweet spot between scoring like crazy and having some defensive integrity. And I think that that's what you see in the playoffs when the games really matter and players are allowed to be a little bit more physical.
Yeah, there were a lot of comments from the guys about how the game is evolving. That's, you know, speaking to what you were just saying about obviously the three-point shot, that everybody can hit it. Like, you can't even play in today's game, really, unless you have a credible shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise you're just left alone and then you're a liability. But do you agree with Trey?
Of course. Yeah. The question, is there too much offense in today's NBA? It's another way to put it is, are the players too good today? Like, what do you want? Do you want players who can't shoot out there? I just don't get it.
Well,
these guys are more defense.
I was going to say the flip side is the defense is not allowed to play defense.
Yeah, the defense is not allowed to play defense. It's not that they can't play defense.
No,
the defense is better than it was 30 years ago. And I know people just say, well, they just don't play defense anymore. They just can't be as physical. They can't grab guys. They can't hand check. Nobody wants hand checks, though. I think that's there's a line. This is a pendulum. I think you can swing back a little bit, but you don't want whoever it is, DJ Carton or whoever it is, coming up the floor with the basketball and you able to really push his body or tug his arm. Like, you do want some freedom on offense.
Yeah.
And they've gone a little too far with, you know, the freedom to move anywhere that they allowed for Steph Curry, et cetera. The freedom of movement. But are the players too skilled? Are they too good? They're just way better. They've just gotten way better over the last 20 years, and they've added the three-point line. So I think the only way to lower scores if you don't like players
being good. It's take away the three-point line, but that's also sucks.
You want to lower scores? Let's just go FIBA rules. Play 40-minute games. That'll lower scores. Still be a lot of shooting, a lot of scoring.
No 3 seconds in FIBA.
Yeah, that's right. There's a couple. Yeah, I mean, I love rules, the FIBA game. Luka's answer, there's plenty of defense, trust me.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And again, he had just scored 73 prior to this.
Yeah.
He says, it's not easy, man. But
call moving screens. There's lots of stuff to do.
Yep. Luka also said in that J.J. Redick podcast, he's like, there is hand checking. And guys have their hands on Luka all the time.
Yeah.
So I think he's right. I thought the best answer, though, was Devin Booker. He's like, yeah, back in my day, scoring 70 was tough. When I did it, it was hard.
Yeah, that's right. I did it in a loss. All right, final one here. I guess sort of goes hand in hand, really, to what we're speaking about. Is officiating better, the same, or worse? You've watched a lot of basketball, Tasmelis. We've been doing this for a lot of years, watching game after game after game. Does it feel different to you? By the way, basically nobody voted in this.
Yeah.
One vote for worse, one vote for no comment.
Nobody touched it.
Nobody wanted to talk about it. But what do you think?
Yeah, you think, me having watched basketball, you think I'd know the answer, but it's very difficult to assess here. I guess Karl-Anthony Towns' answer, it might be the best one. Officials are just new. It's just new refs. That's all it is. They're not as experienced as they used to be. They're also not as experienced because of slight rule changes, like you can't be as physical. That's all. I don't have a good answer. That's what it comes down to. I really don't have a good one. Are referees better these days, or are they just not good?
I would have voted same.
Same.
Always been bad.
There we go.
Literally go back and think about some of the finals you've watched. Phil Jackson was known for influencing the refs by saying comments in the press to get calls. In 1998 playoffs, he compared foul calls to the Munich 72 Olympics when the Russians stole the gold medal from the United States. He had Michael Jordan on his team, who took 70 more free throws than the second place Karl Malone during that playoffs. How about 2002? Ralph Nader sent a letter to David Stern asking for a review of Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals when the Lakers shot 27 free throws in the fourth quarter.
Right.
How about the 2006 Finals? Dwayne Wade shot 25 free throws and 21 free throws in Games 5 and 6. Reffing has always been brutal. Refs are terrible, and these are the best refs in the entire world. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, find better refs. There's none on earth.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's just hard to call fouls. That's what we've been saying forever. It's just hard to assess it, really, is what it comes down to.
I think the perception of this, and probably why it was asked, the league has not done the officials any favors. It's already an impossible job. But this whole, the 2-minute reports and the immediately having to come after a game with a pool reporter and say, no, we botched that one. That adds to the idea of wow, they're really shitty this year. I'm with you, Trey. No, they've been shitty.
Yeah.
They just didn't have these super transparent. And you know why we have this? Because of all the money and gambling now. That's why we have to have all this bullshit. It's all just it's just smoke and mirrors, all this we missed it, and we'll let you know in the 2-minute report. It's a difficult game to call.
Yeah.
They can do a better job. They always can. They know it, but it feels worse, I think, because of all this other stuff.
There's a lot of information out there now.
Right. Mm. Right, right, right.
I don't feel like I should know that Jason Goebel's favorite food is veal parmesan. I don't want to know that Ben Taylor's hidden talent is dancing, and I definitely don't want to know that Scott Foster's bucket list item is to win gold at the U.S. Open Pickleball Championships.
Oh,
but I do.
Yeah.
I know that stuff
now. We
know
too much about
this. We know too much about reffing.
I don't like to know that there are U.S. Open Pickleball Championships.
It's going to be. It's a major growing sport.
It's a huge sport.
I remember all the officials were playing pickleball down in the bubble.
Totally, yeah.
They were at Disney World. True. That was a big thing.
Didn't Mike Malone get hit in the face and have a cut on his head from playing pickleball at the refs, I think?
I think
that might be true.
Get out of the kitchen, Mike!
Rachel's played pickleball with an NBA ref.
NBA official, yeah.
Sterling, I think his name was.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. They love rules.
They do.
Better not put your toe in that kitchen, man. You'd be kicked out.
Well, hold on. You're allowed to step in the kitchen.
You know what I mean. It's been a while since I've played. All right. Fun player poll from The Athletic. Encourage you to go check out that article if you didn't catch it when it came out around the All-Star break. We got to take one more break when we come back. Tass has Tweet of the Night. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, back here in the Classic Factory, funny comment from Jessica in the stream team, because we were talking about how we know way too much about the officials. She wrote, "May Scott Foster never achieve any dream." That's how Jessica feels about the NBA officials. Sorry, Scott, you're never winning a pickleball world championship. Not on Jessica's watch. All right, let's get to your tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Oh, we're going gambling related.
Holy crap. Your voice went nuts there.
Yeah.
Didgeridoo mode.
Yeah, it did. It did. How did I do that? I did. I went deep down. It's allergy season.
Yes.
So things may be covering my throat.
The wild
cherry blossoms are affecting everything. But yeah, it's wild. Listen to Bare Naked Ladies' allergy song. It starts your day off really, really well.
You have said three of the most insane things on today's show. It's great.
Which ones?
The pelican patting on the butt.
That was a spanking.
You had another one, too.
Anyway, yeah, this one's gambling related.
Okay.
That's a normal voice. Gambling related. I don't recommend daily betting or you know, betting in general. But when I see a long-term wager like this, this is a good one from our man, Miles Brown. I am okay with long-term ones, a little bit more so than daily, because you bet less, I would think. But anyway, what Miles Brown bet on was Victor Wembanyama recording a quadruple-double in any game this season. That is the entire bet. He just sees this prop, this line, whatever you want to call it, and that's what he wagered on. Now, it hasn't come through yet. But it's fun. It's kind of like an over-under for a team for the entire season. You know, you just wait back. You just wait. You make one click, and that's about it. So
plus 4,500, the odds?
Good, great odds.
Great payday if he hits it.
Because there haven't been
20 games.
Oh, 20 games. Got a quarter of the season to go, you know, if Wemby plays every game for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, he got banged up a little bit last night. What do you think? Think he hits? I mean, I hope he does.
But it's only for this season. I would guess no.
Yeah.
He's already got the 5x5.
Right.
I mean, we were debating that. What comes first, the 5x5 or the quadruple-double? Mm-hmm. You guys went with the 5x5. You were right. I said the quad-double. But maybe this guy's so crazy, he'll do them both.
It's unlikely just because he's under a minutes restriction already. So you kind of have to play a lot of games to be able to do that. A lot of minutes, excuse me, to be able to do that. And yeah, 20 games left. They're not playing technically for anything. So except for this. For Miles Brown. I hope you win, Miles Brown. because there haven't been many in the history of the NBA. Is it four
ever
now?
Jesus.
Yeah. I thought it was five.
If he does it.
Oh, I thought, yeah.
I think it's four.
Okay. But I thought it was five because we did the David Robinson did it. Alvin Robertson did it with the Spurs. So if they got it to Victor Wembanyama, he'd have three for the San Antonio Spurs, the six. I thought he got 50%. But anyway, that's just not a lot.
Not a lot.
You'd think there'd be more. I thought there was way more. I thought there was eight, something like, you know, a higher number than six.
There probably is back in the day. No Wilt or Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Billy.
Yeah,
we weren't even counting their stats. Probably
Nate Thurman, Alvin Robertson, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson.
That's it. That's the list.
Four C's. Wow.
And so Alvin Robertson did it with steals.
10 steals.
The other guys all did it with blocks.
Yep, all blocks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Who else would you bet on? And this guy can just stand and get blocks. He's going to get 10 blocks. He has.
This guy might, man, not this year, and I wouldn't make this bet, but could he do the quintuple? No, wait, quintuple.
5 by 10.
5 by 10.
Assist steals and blocks.
No? Triple overtime game? A lot of minutes? No, probably not.
Man, if you're challenging that guy enough times that he gets 10 steals and 10 blocks, you should retire.
That's on you.
If that ever happened, I would check the betting stubs of the other team.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Tim Donaghy.
Maybe the officials as well. And the scorekeepers. Oh, can't even trust these scorekeepers. That's what Pablo told me. He found out. He found out about, I guess it was Tom Haberstroh too, right?
Yeah, he also found out.
We knew that whole Van Exel story. We knew the Stockton assists were juiced. So it just gained some second wind here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's only had, just back to Wemby, blocks 10 blocks once this season, mm-hmm. I should say. Not even close with the steals. 6. Which is, that's a big number for a big guy.
Yeah.
And assists, he has done 10 once as well.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So that would be the line.
Good luck, Miles. We're pulling for you.
If it could be a career-long bet,
right.
You know, then I would be in.
I wonder what they would put the odds at for that career Wemby quadruple-double. Because that was plus 4,500, so it's going to be significantly less.
450? Plus 450?
Sure. Be a fun bet.
Still. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they're fun. Yeah.
That's the best part about it. It's like, yeah, just cheering for it. All right. Well, let's call it there. Lots to talk about last night's games, having fun with the player poll, and that fun tweet from Miles Brown. We're back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. 2-hour episode of Survivor on again tonight. My goodness, you're trying to kill us, Jeff Probst. So we'll have no bus tomorrow. 2 hours, and then we go to 90 minutes. But man, I get 2 hours for the premiere. Another 2 hours. I mean, that must be good. Must be something happening here.
Double bootski? No way.
No way. Really?
Too early.
Maybe
too
an evacuation? No.
It's because
why?
Amazing Race doesn't start till next week.
This guy's on it. This guy's on it.
Just extendo mode.
So
okay.
So just Phil and Tina tap dancing.
What's Phil doing?
I don't know. That show is shorter now. Mercifully. I mean, less episodes.
Of the Amazing Race?
Yeah, I think so. It's got to be, because it ends the same time as Survivor, so it's two less episodes.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
They're going more places, but less episodes. Smart, actually.
Wow.
I have never...
Even more amazing.
It does.
Less of a race, and somehow more amazing. All right, so anyway, Survivor, that means no buffs tomorrow afternoon, but we'll be here at 10 a.m. Eastern to talk about the hoops on tonight. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, since you guys will be watching Survivor, I'll jump on the playback and watch some basketball.
All right, join our playback room.
2 hours, Survivor. How do you do it?
You going to vote players off as the game goes? Yeah.
Did you see the mascots did their own version of Survivor?
Survivor.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that on No Bus. Embrace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.